This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the podcast. There's no Simon Mayo, but there is Colin Murray and a legendary Hollywood figure, Paul Schrader. As a writer, he's best known for Taxi Driver and the screenplay for Raging Bull, but he's back now as the writer and director of the new film The Walker, a drama which stars Woody Harrelson as a gay Washington DC escort charged with murder.
It's a double helping off your mark this week.
I know, you can have too much of a good thing, but not in this particular case.
Not of you, this is Nirvana. What do you make of this film? What do you know of this film?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I did an onstage thing with Schrader last night at London's BFI South Bank, and they played the film, which went down very well with the audience. I mean, the way he's described it is that it's the kind of fourth part of a story of the same character who, in his 20s, was an angry taxi driver.
Yeah.
In his 30s, was a narcissistic American gigolo. Richard Gere, I think his very best performance. In his 40s, he was an anxious light sleeper. Light sleeper is actually, often the overlooked gem in Schrader's canon. It's a really, really great film. Now he's in his 50s, and he's this incredibly superficial sort of Washington gadfly who escorts these women around. And as interestingly happens in both American Gigolo and Light Sleeper, what happens is a murder mystery threatens to engulf him, and as a result of this murder mystery, which is kind of a MacGuffin, it's a thing that moves the plot on, but Schrader said last night on stage, you know, it's really, the film's not about the murder mystery, it's about the characters. It creates a crisis in this particular character, and I think it's a really interesting piece of work. Woody Harrelson's a real revelation, because, I mean, it's a difficult part to play. He plays a character who at the very beginning, you've seen American Gigolo, right?
Yeah.
Famous scene in American Gigolo in which Richard Gere gets dressed, in which he lays out all these incredible clothes out in his bed to the sound of Giorgio Moroder and the light streaming in through. I've always felt that's how I've modelled myself. And there's a fantastic scene in The Walker in which Woody Harrelson's character does that scene in reverse. He takes off his cufflinks, he takes off his tie, he takes off his shirt, and the last thing he takes off is his hair, because he's completely bald and he's wearing this fantastically sort of pompadour-like wig. So there are some actors who would have balked at that kind of thing. Also, I mean, amazingly, Schrader was saying last night at the NFT that there are still mainstream actors who would balk at playing a gay character. There are still people who say, oh, I can't do that, it'd be bad for my image. But so, you know, and Harrelson's, as you said quite rightly, he's been on the stage quite a lot in London, getting very, very good reviews, and he's really stuck his neck out. And it was a real eye-opener. I think it's a side of him that I'd never seen before.
But moviegoers will be licking their lips, you know, from students to people who've been going to the cinema for 40 years. When you mention about four parts of one story, you talk American Gigolo, you talk Taxi Driver, Drivers is up there with Reservoir Dogs and a poster Rage Against the Machine when it comes to studenthood over the last 15 years.
Well, the other thing is that you have to remember that what Schrader has done is he's worked inside and outside of the studio system. A couple of movies back, he made this really great film called Autofocus, which is based on a true story about sex, lies and videotape, really. And immediately after that, and forgive me for bringing up the E word, but I can't help it, he was signed on to direct the prequel to The Exorcist, which he did do, a $40 million prequel to The Exorcist. Now, hang on, here's what happened. Having worked outside the studio system and decided that studios are basically fundamentally evil, he went and made a studio movie. And everyone said, God, he's a really interesting choice, because he's not going to make a horror film. He's going to make a psychological thriller. And he did. And the studio hated it so much that they ditched the whole movie, remade the whole movie from scratch with another director, and then subsequently put out his film in a much smaller release. So he has really been through the studio mangler. And now he's made this on completely his own terms. And, of course, one of the most impressive things about the new movie is it's set in Washington, but it's largely filmed in the Isle of Man.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm glad we did get The Exorcist prequel out of the way, because I can't welcome Paul Schrader to the show. Mark Kermode's with me. Lovely to have you on the show, Paul. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hello again. I was with Mark last night at the NFT, or excuse me, the BFI.
The BFI South Bank, as we now legally have to refer to it, Paul.
Yeah, and I tell you, that's what worries me, Paul, that you've had a night out with Mark. We'll try and get a couple of cohesive answers at some stage. I mean, Mark was saying about Woody in the role that he plays. Why did you cast Harrelson? What was the thought process behind it?
Well, I mean, Woody, it's a very unlikely choice, and he certainly wasn't on any of my lists. But his agent recommended him and said Woody wanted to try to do something completely different. And he's a very good actor, and he's good at comedy, so I agreed to meet with him. And he had an enthusiasm for it, and he really wanted to break the mold, and whenever that happens with an actor, you're foolish if you don't listen quite closely to what they're saying.
When did you begin working in this project?
Well, I wrote it in the last year of the Clinton administration, so that would make it, I wrote it 8 years ago then, right? Because now we're in the last year of the Bush administration.
Well, the Walker's the name of the film for anyone who's just tuned in. How true to life is it? Is there really a Walker in Washington, D.C.'s establishment?
Pardon? I missed that.
Describe for us the real-life Walker who inspired the character that Woody Harrelson plays.
Well, I mean, I've known a number over the years and have friends who have done this. It really wasn't one particular person. Dominic Dunn introduced me to a man in Washington who is a gossip columnist and then introduced me to a number of people. But there wasn't one particular man, no.
But there was a guy who walked Nancy Reagan's dog, and called Jerry somebody.
Yeah, that was Jerry Zipkin. He was in New York. He's dead now. And he was Nancy Reagan's walker, and he is responsible for the name The Walker. That's John Fairchild of W Magazine always referred to him as Jerry the Walker Zipkin in print. And that's where the name came from, and it stuck. And so the name is a fairly recent coinage. And so the phrase, the Walker, comes from Jerry Zipkin, but not the character in this film.
There's obviously, we were talking earlier just before you came on onto the phone, Paul, about the character being something of an older version of the lead from American Gigolo in comparisons. Was there any thought process in your head about going back to Richard Gere?
Well, actually, I did. I talked to Richard about it, and I told him I didn't think it was a good idea, but I wanted to fly it past him, and he said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea either, and that was it. And that was the end of that.
A short conversation.
Yeah.
In terms of the actors who you've worked with, I mean, Mark had been in a much better position than I, but Sidney Pollack, so many people you work with, great directors, great actors as well, Robert De Niro, Willem Dafoe. Can you get just about anyone you want for a project, for anything that you write, director-wise, actor-wise? Are you lucky enough to be able to handpick?
Well, I mean, a lot of the films I do involve a certain labor of love.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of actors out there who work for money. I mean, I'm not saying this as a joke. I mean, literally work for money. They do not cut their price. And so, and Richard Gere is one of them. It's very hard to pull in those kind of actors who have said, look, you know, I do what I do, I get paid what I get paid, and then maybe I'll lose one or two interesting films over the years, but that's the way it goes. Mm-hmm. So, you can't get at anybody. And on the other hand, if you're willing to pay top dollar, you can probably get at almost anybody.
Regardless of your history.
But strangely, but in terms of the female cast, I mean, you have an extraordinary, you have Kristen Scott Thomas, you have, Lauren Bacall, you have Lily Tomlin. That's a real top-notch female cast.
Yeah, well, certainly a lot easier to get women over 40 because they don't have the opportunities. Yeah. To work as they did when they were younger, so it's much easier to get at them and much easier to get them to agree to do it for the financial parameters you have.
Well, you certainly, I mean, it is harder for actors of our generation to get good roles these days, which plays into your hand, but she was a first choice for you. You really wanted to work with Bacall.
Well, I mean, actually, my agent is sort of Lawrence Walker. She likes to go to these premieres and movie events, so about once a week he's stuck having to put her on his arm and go to these events, and so she found out about the movie from him, and so she wanted to be in it right off the bat, and so that's how it started.
Listen, Mark, you know, because we never know how much time we're going to have with Paul. I'm letting you off the leash now. We know about The Walker. It's coming out on August 10th. Just prepare yourself here, Paul. There will be exorcist questions and whatever else you want, Mark. Over to you.
When I met Paul for the first time last night, he introduced himself to me and he said, you're the man who knows more about The Exorcist than I do. And I said, yeah, I'm very pleased to have that title.
And then I said, and I know too much.
I know too much, yes. So how much I know is unhealthy. So, but Paul, because Dominion did finally get released, and interestingly enough, I think one of the first mentions of Dominion was that the film critic David Thompson was on this program a while ago in the middle of all your troubles, and he said that he had seen a very early version of it, and he described it as, in his mind, the best film he'd seen that year, and he said that it was a very important Schrader movie and that he really wanted Morgan Creek to relent and let it be seen. So since you're now here on the show, tell us the finished version of Dominion that you made and that Morgan Creek then dumped and remade a whole other film, and now you got yours finished. How do you feel about it after all that anguish?
Well, I think it was a mistake for me to get involved in that project. Actually, the Walker was somewhat responsible because I had the Walker set up and it fell through.
Yeah.
And I was in a real funk, and then the phone rang, and all of a sudden John Frankenheimer had gotten sick, and they were looking for a replacement to do this Exorcist. And it was ready to go, and they had locations. They had Victorio Storaro, and would I step in? So the temptation to just jump in after having had a kind of bruising collapse of the Walker was irresistible, and I jumped into a situation that I probably shouldn't have with people who didn't really respect me and who I didn't really respect. And there's a lot of wishful thinking that goes on in this business, you know, and I'm sure that I imagined it would all work out, and I'm sure that they imagined it would all work out, but it didn't.
But one nice footnote of it is that at the end of it all, you, as a Calvinist and a political liberal, have become quite good friends with Exorcist author William Peter Blatty, who is completely—he's a Catholic and he's politically extremely not a liberal.
No. He has a hard time these days defending those dreadful positions he's taken.
But you get on with him, right? You find him.
Yeah. He called me the other day. Yeah.
Good. Well, I would recommend people, if you liked American Gigolo, and if you liked Light Sleeper particularly, as I said, I think is the one which often gets neglected and overlooked, which is a terrific piece of work, then you should go and see The Walker, because it is a continuation of that character. It's picking up on those themes. And again, for a film which cost, I think, a relatively small amount of money, it looks extraordinarily handsome. And it is a largely British production, although obviously it's an American set film, an American cast and the rest of it. It is shot here in the UK largely, and in the fabulous Isle of Man.
And it is, all the technical crew is all British.
Yes, exactly. You've got a British DP and a British production designer, and Anne Dudley did the score for it, and it has songs by Brian Ferry, who, of course, is British borderline Californian nowadays, I believe.
Well, listen, Paul, thank you very much for joining us in Five Live this afternoon. I know you've a lot of press to do today, and I know after Mark Kermode it's all downhill, but do get through the day as best as you can, okay?
All right. Well, thanks. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Paul Schrader, then, back with The Walker. Mark.
Yes?
You're a much more sane individual on a Tuesday. I'm not sure whether I like that. I'm not getting shouted at. Can I just say Transformers to you?
The thing you have to remember is, you see, the people think I'm just shouty and horrible all the time. There's a novel that's just come out called The Golden Age of Film Censorship, and it's written by a retired film, and there's a character in it called Mark Carmody, who's clearly me. And I mean, he's only in it briefly. No, he is me, right? And he's incredibly abusive and sweary and nasty, and I'm reading it getting, but I have a gentle side.
But I don't want that. I want you to be screaming at Michael Bay. Screaming
well,
for
obviously,
blood.
Michael Bay should burn in hell for all eternity. For that's more like cinema, it. But, it's like I've tried to purge myself of that terrible, I got it out of my system. I don't see any need to revisit Transformers, although, of course, we'll have to do it in the top 10 rundown, because sadly, people will have gone to see it. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff. People have gone to see Transformers, and I have been stopped, and I'm not making this up. I've been stopped by three people in the street since last Friday who've come up to me and said, I heard your review of Transformers, and I went to see it, and it was every bit as terrible as you said. So you go, why did you go?
That's because of the three people who've emailed me and said, I've went to see Transformers. It's nowhere near as bad as what Kermode said. That's the joy of cinema, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
No, the joy of cinema is that all those people are wrong. And if you've paid to see it, you're just encouraging him. You're just encouraging him to do it. I'm sorry, it's your fault. You look at the state of cinema. It's like Norbit. If you paid to see Norbit, shame on you.
You see, that's the Kermode we all know and love. The rush of blood to the head's coming this Friday.
I like Paul Schrader. What do you want me to do? Shout at him? I like like him.
No, I just like to get just a little bit of that spunk going before you go away.
So okay. Well, I'm sorry to have disappointed and pleased that I pulled it out of the bag by being cross at the end.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.